Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Grecian's Gossip. There's no Dave or Howard today, so it's just myself, Jamie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Daniel Clock.
Hello.
We've got a couple things to talk about. It's been, I guess, a fairly quiet week so far regarding Exeter City, but let's have a look back on that win at Cambridge. Another comeback win, Daniel, and I guess, you know, didn't sound like it was a classic, despite the scoreline, but I guess as Paul Tisdale said, it's all about the results, isn't it?
Yeah, and at this stage of the season, it was a massive game to win, and just to, not only to almost, you know, to stretch the gap between the sides below you, almost, you know, cement that playoff spot as a bare minimum, but to really put the pressure on Wickham ahead. Obviously, Wickham, they had the weekend off, they're due to play Lincoln, who went and won the Checker Trade Trophy, so essentially it became Exeter's game in hand that, you know, they kind of had to win, really, because if you did, you know, even draw in that game, would have left Exeter 4 points behind Wickham with a much worse goal difference and no game in hand, which would have relied on, you know, we need one slip-up from Wickham already this season to get automatic promotion, but two slip-ups, you know, is, you know, just stretch it a little bit, particularly given that then you'd be relying on winning all your games anyway. So it was a massive game to win, and particularly the way they went and won it as well, twice being behind against a Cambridge side who, although they're in the bottom half of the table, have been really strong at home this season, and it's been their away form, if anything, that's been their undoing. So I think it was a game that they needed to win, really, and they got the win as well, those two late goals. And it just, you know, keeps a little bit of momentum going, you know, particularly, you know, I think there's confidence is high around the club at the minute. Obviously, Matt Jay got his first goal, well, first league goal for the club anyway, so, you know, a bit more confidence, got that off his back, you know, he's got a goal there, and you're just looking at it, and it's all of a sudden, you're sort of thinking, well, this is actually, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, I think automatic promotion was sort of in the back of people's minds. You're now sort of looking and thinking, you know, if we can get something at Accrington at the weekend, even, you know, we can, particularly if you win, but even if you get a point there, it's really looking, okay, we can actually do this. We can go on and get third place and get automatic promotion.
Yeah, and, you know, 4 wins from 5, it's hitting form at the right time, you feel. And it was great to see Matt Jay score his first senior goal, wasn't it? Because, you know, he's already become a fan favourite, and, you know, he's a hard worker, isn't he? He'll chase every ball down and he'll give 110% every game. And, alright, it might not have been the greatest of goals that he scored or whatever score, but it was well deserved, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's just one that, I think we've talked about him a lot this, you know, the second half of this season, that he produces these performances where he's lively, energy around the pitch, puts pressure on players, can link up the play, but there comes a point where actually he needs to start scoring the goals, and he's had the chances this season, so it was, you know, I think it might be one that just sort of opens the floodgates, so to speak, that, you know, he might not, I'm probably never going to go, I don't think he's ever going to get 20 goals a season, but if you can pick up, you know, 10 goals a season, that would be a really valuable addition, you know, to the side. And it's just one that I think you can see everyone's happy for him to get that goal. It was a bit of a scrappy goal, but it's a good finish, you know, it's a crucial one as well. It got them back in the game and gives Exeter a few more options going forward as well. Obviously, him and Stockley seem to have a little bit of a relationship being brought up at this stage, so which, you know, gives you an option to play like that. Obviously, you know, Robbie Simpson and Ryan Brunton and around the squad as well. You know, that's if you go for a more physical, direct approach, or you've got the likes of, you know, Ryan Harley and Lee Holmes on all, you know, coming back from injury, which, you know, could then change it, you know, change the system, you know, have maybe an extra man in midfield and someone like Jake Taylor pushing, you know, in a bit more support. So it gives just a few more options going forward, you know, scoring, you know, and scoring the goals, which is, you know, what they're probably going to need at the end of the season. You've got to win, you're going to need to win games, and, you know, the best way to do that is, you know, if you can hit the net two or three times in the back in the game, then you're more like, you know, you can afford to, you know, have games where you can see a couple of goals at the back and still go on to win.
And just on City's form recently and that Cambridge win, it was another comeback, as you said, coming from behind twice. It's a recurring theme this season. Trying to think, it's been quite a few times when, you know, we've come from behind to win. There was the Cheltenham game at home a few weeks ago, and can't think of the top of my head, but there's been quite a few where we've come back from the dead. The Crewe game as well,
seen in the stoppage time.
Yeah, as well. So I think as City fans, we've seen in recent years that doesn't seem to have happened as much. You'll go one goal behind and then concede a late goal at the end to make it 2-0 and kill the game off, but. What do you think's changed the mentality? Is it, you know, given the league table that they know how important the results are?
I'd say it's more. I think just that this season and you know, last season as well, and there's a lot of late comebacks, I think it's more that the squad is actually just a better squad than it has been in recent years. So they're not in a position that even if you go 1 or even 2-0 down, you actually look at the players you've got, and the players are actually better than the opposition's players. So you back themselves, you know, to get goals, to equalise, to win games. It definitely looks to be a sort of a never say die attitude around the club. You know, they scored, you know, I think it's two or three times you've seen this season. They've equalised in the 90th minute, and instead of celebrating, it's get the ball out the back of the net on the centre circle, and thinks, okay, look, we've got an equaliser, now let's go and win it. So there's a huge belief in the club that it doesn't really matter, you know. We're going to score at any stage. We'll keep going on. We'll get goals, whether or not there's a, you know, potentially fitness issues as well. Obviously, the 3G or 4G pitch out at the Cat and Fiddle means that they have been able to train throughout the winter. Obviously, it's been very cold this winter. A lot of snow around, and you know, there might be other clubs who just haven't been able to train as much as Exeter. So they, you know, they can back themselves that, you know, with fitness, that in the last 10-15 minutes of games, that they're not going to be tired, they're going to still be at the top of the performance, and so when other sides sort of just flag and drop a little bit, that then you can take advantage and get those late goals. But I think it's just a combination of factors, really, you know, the quality of the players, the belief, and, you know, maybe fitness as well. But it seems that, you know, they just never think they're beaten. They can always come back, they can always win games, and they've needed to do that in the last, you know, few games. If you go behind against Cambridge, go behind against Cheltenham, that, you know, you might want them, you know, perhaps actually just to not need to keep coming back from these situations and sort of go back to how it was at the start of the season, in which, you know, I think until Christmas, I don't think they lost a game, or maybe one game when they can score the first goal. So it was sort of a bit of a turnaround, really. At the start of the season, it was very much a score the first goal and City go on to win, and struggle to come back, which in recent times it doesn't seem to matter that they concede the first goal, because they still come back and win games.
And let's just look ahead now, shall we, to the next upcoming games. Accrington away on Saturday, followed by the rearranged game against Chesterfield at home on Tuesday. Accrington away, runaway League Two leaders. I'm just looking. I don't think
if they win on Saturday, they're promoted. So they've got that definitely in the back of their mind. They want to get it. I think we all accept that Accrington are up and Luton are probably up as well. But they'll want to get it done as soon as possible, I think.
And we looked earlier. I think they've got the second best form in Europe in 2018, taking 40 points from 45, something like that, just behind PSG, I think. It should be a tough game on paper, but as we said before we came on air with this, Daniel, when they came down here a few months ago, I know it was a while back, but they look quite a poor side. So is that something that, you know, Paul Tisdale will be thinking about?
Yeah, you've got to think about that. Yeah, obviously looking at that, they obviously are much improved than them. But on that day, they, you know, but if you looked at that performance, you'd never have, you probably wouldn't even have Accrington standing in the playoffs this season, let alone runaway champions. And, you know, they're on a ridiculous run of form. I think it's sort of 8 wins from 9 or something like that. But I think 6 or 7 of those have been sort of by just one nil victories. So they're not blowing sides away, and that's, you know, they're just, I think some of the games, you know, they're dominating, they're being the better side, but what they don't seem to have, you know, what they aren't doing is, you know, doing what Luton have done to sides this season, sort of win by 3, 4, 5 and even 8 on occasion. So that's, you know, that's something you can look at and go, okay, then obviously a very good side, but they're not, you know, that top level that they can, you know, run away with games. I mean, it's a game that you've probably, you look at it and you go, okay, well, given the fixtures left, probably take a point out of this one. And then you know, okay, Wickham might stretch that gap back up to 4 games, but they've got Lincoln and Accrington in the next 2 games. So you'd think, okay, well, they might drop points in those games, and that's when you can catch them up. So it's definitely, I think, you know, the fixture is by far the toughest game Exeter have left this season, but as we've seen, well, in particularly in recent seasons, actually they've had a really good record against sides at the top of the table. I think, you know, they've had a good record against Accrington in recent times as well. So I think there'll be, you know, a bit of confidence around the City players this week that they can go there and they want to, you know, show that obviously, you know, Accrington have, you know, they're a club with a small budget and they've probably overachieved this season. But, you know, you want to look at them and say, yeah, well, you know, so we're going to overachieve as well. We're going to win this game. We're going to go up and join you in the division next season. I mean, it'll be a tough game, but I don't think it's one that, you know, Exeter will be writing off at all as a definite defeat.
And a win or a point for City at least would, you know, continue that, you know, closing in on a playoff place. I think we were just working it out, and I think you said 5 points you needed from the final 5 games to confirm a place in the top 7. And, you know, we just looking at the final 5 games, Accrington away, Chesterfield home, Crawley at home, Stevenage away, Colchester at home. Take out the Accrington game. Okay, Chesterfield are fighting for their lives, but, you know, you've got to be looking at 3, 4 wins at least from the final 5 games?
I think you'd start with those 5 games and you'd probably write down 10 points from 15 on paper as to what you is probably a baseline. You know, this is the lowest that we can expect to get from these games. Be, you know, maybe a loss at Accrington and maybe, you know, possibly even Stevenage away or Colchester at home. Potentially as a, or, you know, as a draw, a game you might draw, but you'd expect to win, you know, the others all, you know, to, you'd expect to beat Chesterfield and Crawley at home, I think, and then probably expect to win at least one of those last two fixtures as well. And, you know, it might be that 10 points might not be enough to, you know, finish in the top three, particularly given the goal difference scenario essentially puts Wickham a point ahead of Exeter at this stage. But it might, you know, that's the kind of, you've got to be looking at, okay, 10 points minimum, we'll get, and then see where we go from there. But it's not, it's a definitely a favourable run in, and particularly, you know, obviously, I'm saying Wickham have also got Chesterfield to play, but Wickham have got to go to Chesterfield, and that game is, I think Chesterfield's the penultimate game of the season, so it'll be a game that Chesterfield probably will have to win to stay up. You know, the little gap opening up while Exeter playing on next Tuesday night. It's not quite, well, it's crucial, but it's not quite, you know, a defining game for Chesterfield. So they might, you know, it's not quite one of those that they, you know, they have to win at this stage. But the Exeter's running is, you know, it's about as nice as you can realistically expect, and, you know, they'll fancy picking up, you know, 3, 4 wins and, you know, leaving it and just hoping that Wickham do slip up on one, maybe 2 occasions and allow that third place to be stolen.
very much is still open, only 2 points behind them. Both teams have a game in hand, and as we said before, Wickham have to go to Lincoln and they've got to play Accrington as well. So, you know, City should be ready to pounce on any slip-ups there.
But I guess, yeah, obviously, that looks like the playoffs definitely secured.
And yeah.
And I suppose the other thing to note that they've also achieved or got more points than they did last season already, with 5 games to go, which, particularly given, obviously, you know, Exeter lost Ollie Watkins and David Wheeler, who were the two best players last season, is and I guess the squad doesn't quite look as good this season as it did last season, but it's a great achievement to have already, you know, hit that target from last season with 5 games to go. So it might not necessarily look on paper that they're a better side than last season. I think that's partly skewered by the horrible start to the season with the 2 points from 9 home games. But on paper and on the mathematics, they have done better this season than last season. So there's improvement being shown there.
Absolutely. And then you're looking at teams that have dropped out of Mansfield. It's ridiculous the collapse they've had since Steve Evans gone, because I think he left when they were third or fourth, but they
haven't won under Dave Flitcroft yet. So
no, Phil Brown as well.
Swindon, looking at, I think they've drawn something like pretty much all of their games since he's taken charge of, obviously, the loss at St James's Park. But it's, Crawley were the other ones a few weeks ago who looked to be knocking on the door, and their form's drifted away. Colchester are actually the one who are putting the pressure on, but they're coming from so far back that, you know, they're still 4 points outside the playoffs. So there might be a threat to Coventry and Lincoln, but not to Exeter. And I think it was at Notts County, but they won at the weekend, which is a big win for them, because their form had gone horribly, wrong as well. They were obviously up there with Luton not that long ago, and now they're 10 points behind them. So there's not a huge number of teams, actually. I suppose other than Lincoln are the ones who are in the form at the minute. They're winning games. That they're the ones you look at and go, okay, they're the team who you'd want to avoid in the playoffs because they're in form and they're winning games. But there's no one else really who looks at this minute to be building any kind of momentum for a late, charge to the playoffs or promotion.
Everyone seems to be stumbling there, don't they? Let's just round off with some predictions for Accrington. I mean, wow, what a test this would be. Accrington absolutely flying at the moment, so it's going to be a huge, huge test for City. But if anyone can do it, City can. It's a really hard one to call. I think it'll be a close game, but fortunately, I'm pessimist in me is going for an Accrington win, 2-1 to Accrington.
I'll be a little bit more optimistic then and say a 1-1 draw.
Be very interesting. Obviously, you've got Billy Key, who's been absolutely fantastic for him this season. Okay, well, anyway, that about rounds it off for us this week. Join us again next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about at least a playoff place confirmed, and who knows, maybe a charge for automatic promotion.
Ook bewust bezig zijn met je mobiel? Dat kan al voor €20,50 per maand met de Huawei P20 Lite. Nu met 300 minuten of sms'jes en 1000 MB 4G-internet. Kijk op ben.nl.
Let op. Geld lenen kost geld.